Hello and welcome to this Security Talk series. My name is Graham Calladine from the Security Centre of Excellence within Microsoft. In this module, we are going to cover the highlights of identity and access management for the Windows Azure platform. We shall be covering general claims-based identity and stepping through federation, federation with Active Directory, how the Windows Identity Foundation fits in, and finally, details on the App Fabric Access Control Service. To understand the power of claims, you may need to change your point of view about authentication. If you're used to Windows authentication, such as Kerberos, you tend to think of identity in terms of user accounts and groups. If you're used to ASP.NET, you probably think in terms of usernames, passwords, and roles. If you think about what different authentication mechanisms have in common, you can abstract the individual elements of identity and access control into two parts: a single general notion of claims along with the concept of an issuer or an authority. Thinking in terms of claims and issues is a powerful abstraction that supports new ways of securing your applications. Because claims involve an explicit trust relationship with an issuer, your application believes a claim about the current user only if it trusts the entity that issued the claim. Trust is explicit in the claims-based approach, not implicit as in other authentication authorization approaches you may be familiar with. Most applications include a certain amount of logic that supports identity-related features, but with Windows integrated authentication, there are still challenges. Kerberos tickets only give you the user account and the list of groups. What if your application needs to send an email to a user? What if you need the email address of the user's manager? Things start to get complicated quickly, and to go beyond Kerberos' limitations, you need to program Active Directory, and this is not a simple task. Claims-based identity allows you to factor out the authentication logic from individual applications. Instead of the application determining who the user is, it receives claims that identify the user. A very familiar analogy is the authentication protocol you follow each time you visit an airport. You can't simply walk up to the gate and present your passport or driver's license. Instead, you must first check in at the ticket counter. Here you present whatever credential makes sense. If you're going overseas, you show your passport. If it's a domestic flight, you present your driver's license. After verifying your picture ID matches your face, the agent looks up your flight and verifies that you've paid for a ticket. Assuming all is in order, you receive a boarding pass that you take to your gate. Now, the boarding pass is very informative. The gate agent knows your name, your frequent flyer number, which is authentication and personalization, your flight number and your seating priority, your authorization, and perhaps even more. The gate agents have everything they need to do their jobs efficiently. There is also a magnetic strip on the back or a barcode on the front that proves the pass was issued by the airline and is not a forgery. In essence, the boarding pass is a signed set of claims made by the airline about you. Now we have an idea of what claims are, what are the basics of an access request? Are you a legitimate user accessing this application? What assurance can I obtain that proves you're a valid user? Because remember, with Windows Auth, it is implied. However, a claim will give you explicit trust. Once I've proved you're valid, what is it you can do with the application? What are you authorized to access? And lastly, what is it I need to know about you? Is it just that you are a valid user and you have access to this or that? Or do I need other information like your email address, your manager's email address, groups and roles and so on? A claim is very different to a Windows token that you may be used to. A claim can contain multiple pieces of information like your name, your email address, your manager's email address, your age, the groups you belong to and roles and so on. But the claim can contain what your application actually needs. And it is very easy to add extra data to the claim, unlike an Active Directory token. In software, this bundle of claims is called a security token. Each security token is signed by the issuer who created it. And a claims-based application considers users to be authenticated if they present a valid signed security token from a trusted issuer. Resources are basically anything. These can be files, documents, web pages, etc. The claim information can be used to determine if the claimant is authorized to access these resources. Here we have a conceptual model of a claims-based service. And over the next few slides, we will go into far more detail. Number one, The subject wants to access a resource provider application, so it contacts the resource provider and learns what claims it needs and which claims providers are trusted and where they are. The subject contacts the claims provider and requests the claims that the resource provider asks for. The job of the claims provider is to authenticate the user and to provide all of the claims it has asked for. These claims are provided in the form of a security token, which is a serialized set of claims that are digitally signed by the claims provider. The signature is very important because it gives you the assurance that the subject didn't just make up a bunch of claims and send them to the resource provider. The subject then delivers the security token containing the set of claims to the resource provider, and the resource provider can now validate the token and use the claims to provide access to the resource. This slide shows how Microsoft implements the claims-based access model using Active Directory Federation Services and Windows Identity Foundation, or WIF for short. The first step is to establish a trust between the resource provider, that i.e. the application, to the identity provider, commonly known as the Security Token Service, or STS for short. This provides the application the signing key that it will use to validate the security tokens, the URI that the user should connect to request the token, the claims that the STS will include in the token and other metadata as well. With the trust established, the following steps can take place when an end user wants to have access to an application. Number one, when the client contacts the application indicates what kind of token it requires, what kind of claims that token should contain, and what identity providers it trusts. The application can do this in a vendor-neutral way using either WS security policy for requests made via SOAP or HTML for requests made via the browser. Number two, the client contacts the appropriate identity provider to authenticate the user, using whatever authentication method the identity provider requires. This identity provider can be implemented using ADFS. Number three, the client gets a token for this identity, which is signed by the identity provider and contains the claims required by the application. Number four, once it has the token, the browser or client sends it to the application. And finally, the application verifies the token using the signing key provided during the trust establishment by the identity provider, and then uses the claims in it to authenticate and authorize the user. The application can use a claims framework like Windows Identity Foundation to implement the claim validation and authorization. A federation between companies. Imagine we have two separate companies and they are doing business together and we need to use each other's application to do ordering, for example. With federation, the two companies do not need to configure the applications for each other's users. They can just expose their security token services and create trust between the two organizations. So the company on the right trusts the company on the left. The two administrators of each of the company have configured some claims rules mapping claims from one company to another. This introduces a role called a federation provider. And essentially, this federation provider allows us to transform claims from one foreign identity provider into claims that our application on the right-hand side here will understand. For example, the company on the left may provide a claim such as a birth date. The company on the right may not accept birth dates due to privacy reasons, and hence the application just needs to know if the user is older than 21, for example. The federation provider can be configured to change that birth date into a simple yes or no claim that the application understands. The application in the company on the right has not had to be reconfigured in any way. So essentially, the federation provider is acting as a claims transformer. So now let's look in detail at how this works. In this model of federation between security token services, the process for which the user gets access to the application is slightly different from the previous one with just a single STS. The client contacts the application and is communicated about its requirements, i.e. the claims expected and the trust identity providers. The client contacts its appropriate identity provider that performs the authentication with the user credentials. The client gets a token for this identity, which is signed by the identity provider and contains the claims required by the application. Once it has the token, the browser or client sends it to the relying party STS. Instead of sending it directly to the application, This token will be used to authenticate the client on the relying party and communicate the claims from the identity provider. The relying party STS verifies the token using the signing key provided during the trust establishment by the identity provider STS, and then issues another token containing a set of new claims, based on the original set of course, that meets the requirements from the application. The application sends the new token received from the relying party STS to the application. The application verifies the token issued by the relying party STS based on the signing key established between the application and the relying party STS, and uses the new set of claims to authenticate and authorize the user. The benefits of using claims are quite powerful. It gives us a wonderful abstraction layer that frees the developer from specific technologies. We just need to know that the technology that we are using has the right capabilities and exposes things like policies that we need. The IT pro can have one authoritative data source that they can use to federate with many partners, and they do not have to manage accounts for external users. And of course, for the end user, it is all seamless. It acts as a single sign-on for multiple applications, and only the right information needs to be shared with other businesses, maintaining as much privacy as possible. We shall now step through Cloud Federation and see how that works with Active Directory Federation Services, the Windows Identity Foundation Framework, and configuring Federation with Active Directory as well. The Federation model implemented by Microsoft for its cloud services allows applications running on top of Azure to perform authentication and authorization using existing on-premise user bases, such as Active Directory. Two core components in this architecture are Active Directory Federation Services and the Windows Identity Foundation. ADFS acts as the identity provider on-premise, issuing tokens for browser-based clients and smart-based clients. And the Windows Identity Foundation is essentially a set of classes and tools that act as an extension to the .NET framework, enabling you to use claim-based identity when developing applications. Now, when using WIF in Azure, it's very similar to using WIF on-premise. The code base is exactly the same, almost, apart from some infrastructure changes. ADFS version 2 is a Windows Server role that extends Active Directory with a claims-based identity capability. ADFS provides AD with a security token service, enabling us to use our existing on-premise Active Directory as our credential store for our Azure application. Thus, we do not have to maintain a new store in the cloud. We configure our Azure application to use the ADFS STS as the authenticator for the application. ADFS easily facilitates this establishment and maintenance of the trust relationships with our federated partners, simplifying access to these resources and giving us even distributed single sign-on. ADFS implements standards such as WS Trust, WS Federation, and the SAML protocol. And as you start to work with other identity providers, the fact that ADFS has recently passed the latest Public Liberty Alliance SAML 2.0 interoperability testing will be of great benefit. It means that ADFS out of the box has interoperability with products from IBM, Novell, Ping, SAP, and Siemens, and many others. Windows Identity Foundation enables .NET developers to offload the identity logic from their applications. Now, non-security experts can easily secure their applications without having to be exposed to the underlying complexities of cryptography and protocols, leveraging Visual Studio integration features such as point-and-click wizards, which result in applications being protected using open standards such as WS Trust and WS Federation. When using the Windows Identity Foundation, the mechanics of the authentication are provided by external services using platform-independent protocols. The application receives information about authenticated users in the forms of claims, which can be used for simple or traditional role-based access control to sophisticated access control policies. Because open standards are used, the authentication can take place regardless of whether the user accounts are maintained or where the applications are hosted. As a result, single sign-on across on-premise and Windows Azure hosted resources can be easily achieved. .NET Framework has two native interfaces that provide identity and role information. iIdentity is a very simple interface that allows you to discover the user's name. iPrinciple is an interface that provides the context of the user, including the user's identity and any roles which they may belong to. Now, WIF provides two extensions to iIdentity and iPrinciple, and they are iClaims Identity and iClaims Principle, which are used to make the claims processed in the WIF pipeline available to the application code. WIF represents a claim with the claim class shown on the left-hand side, the most important elements of which are the claim type, which represents the type of the claim, i.e. whether it's a birthday, a role, or a group membership, and is typically represented with a URI. Then we have the value, which is the actual value of the claim itself. It's the issuer, which indicates the name of the identity provider that issued the current claim. The subject points to the iClaims Identity class to which the current claim belongs, which is a representation of the identity of the subject to which the claim came from. iClaims Identity, which is actually a list, gives you access to all of the claims issued for the subject. And then we have iClaims Principle, which exposes a collection of identities, each of which implements the iClaims Identity. Typically, there will be a single issuer and a single token, and the identities of the collection will only have one element. In this case, you can use the iPrinciple.identity to get the identity as usual. In advanced scenarios, however, the relying party might ask via policy for more than one security token, potentially from different issuers, in which case having access to a collection of identities becomes important. The code snippet shows how an application can use WIF to read the age of a claim from the currently logged on user, and going through the list of claims in the iClaims Identity. Here we're going to see how WIF works with a simple passive-based client or a browser. WIF sits in front of the application in the ASP.NET pipeline. When an unauthenticated user requests a page, it redirects the browser to the identity provider pages. Here, the identity provider authenticates a user in whatever way it chooses, perhaps by showing a page with a username and password, or some other way. Then it manufactures a token with the required claims and sends it back. The browser posts the token it got from the identity provider to the application, where WIF again intercepts the request. If the token satisfies the requirements of the application, i.e. that it's come from the right identity provider, contains the right claims and so forth, the user is considered authenticated. WIF then drops a cookie, and the session is established. The claims in the incoming token are made available to the application code, and the control is passed to the application. As long as the session cookie is valid, the subsequent requests will not need to go through the same flow because the user will be considered authenticated. WIF integrates into the ASP.NET by supplying the following HTTP modules into the ASP.NET processing pipeline. The WS Federation authentication model enables browser-based federation, handling redirection to the appropriate STS for authentication and token issuance, and processing the resulting sign-in response to hydrate the issued security token in the claims principle to be used for authorization. This module is also handled other important federation messages such as single sign-out requests. The security token handlers are responsible for creating, reading, writing, and validating tokens. A collection of token handlers are used to take over some of the responsibilities of the token manager used by ASP.NET. WIF plugs a security token handler collection into the ASP.NET pipeline for you. A WIF token handler provides a single extensibility point for adding support for additional token types. The Claims Authentication Manager lets you perform claims transformation, including adding, modifying, and deleting claims extracted from an incoming token before they're received by your resource provider application. It provides a single place to authenticate claims. WIF allows you to create your own Claims Authentication Manager class to intercept incoming claims and modify them as well. The Session Authentication module manages the authenticated session by generating a session security token that contains the claims principle, writing it to a cookie, managing the lifetime of the session cookie, and rehydrating the claims principle from the cookie when it is presented. The Claims Authorization Manager provides an extensibility point to install a custom Claims Authorization Manager that can be useful for centralized access checks. It provides a single place to authorize or deny incoming requests before they are received by your application. WIF will automatically extend the ASP.NET authorization with information in the incoming claims. Any code you have that already relies on iPrinciple and iIdentity doesn't need to change. Code that is based on iPrinciple isEnroll will work without any changes, with any incoming claim type being available to be used as a role. URL authorization in web.config file can also be used as claims information as roles. Applications can also develop a more complex authorization logic that can go beyond role-based access control, making specific checks such as checking for age or spending limits based on the claims information provided by the identity provider. WIF also provides a hook for you to develop your own authorization logic directly on the WIF processing pipeline by creating your own claims authorization manager. To intercept incoming requests, create a class that derives from claims authorization manager and implements its only method, check access. This method will authorize the subject specified in the context to perform an action on the specified resource. When using a web service, you don't use a browser. Instead, you're using an arbitrary client application that includes logic for handling claims-based identity protocols. In this case, the client application will get the policy information at design time as part of the web service definition document that supplies the details of the service's address, binding, and contract. With a claims-based service, the WSDL document and its associated WS policy document supply all the necessary details about the issuer that the service trusts. This means that the client knows that it needs to obtain a security token from that issuer before making requests to the service. Because this information is stored in the configuration file of the client application, at runtime the proxy can get that token before talking to the service. This optimizes the handshake compared to the browser scenario, because the browser had to visit the application first before being redirected to the issuer. The slide shows briefly the sequence. As mentioned previously, ADFS 2.0 supports the WS Star protocol stack, which includes WS Security, WS Trust, and WS Federation. Plus, it supports key profiles of the SAML 2.0 protocol standard. This includes support for the SAML 2.0 Web Single Sign-On Authentication Protocol for the following profiles: the Identity Provider Lite, Services Provider Lite, eGov 1.5. Microsoft has completed the SAML 2.0 interoperability tests in these profiles. Testing was done in a full metrics, meaning all tests pass with all vendors. That's Entrust, IBM, Novell, Ping Identity, SAP, and Siemens. This meant 8 to 12 tests, depending on the profile, with each of the 7 solutions, with ADFS acting as both the IDP and the SP, resulting in about 150 tests to pass. You can visit the Liberty Alliance site for more details. Development with the Windows Identity Foundation can be done directly with Visual Studio 2010 using the Windows Identity Foundation SDK, which is a free download from the Microsoft website. Now, the WIF SDK includes many things: tools for establishing and maintaining a trust relationship between identity providers and claim-aware applications, such as FedUtil; out-of-the-box templates that work with Visual Studio 2010 to create claims-aware websites and services; templates such as an ASP.NET Reliant Party application, a WCF Reliant Party application, an ASP.NET STS, and even a WCF STS. Ready-to-use controls for ASP.NET applications, and lots of sample code for the most common usage scenarios. Now that we have covered off Windows Identity Foundation and how it simplifies programming against WS Stack, we shall dig into the App Fabric Access Control, which enables us to do basic federation without the need to write WIF code or complex WCF code. The Windows Azure Platform App Fabric Access Control Service provides federated authentication and rules-driven claims-based authorization for REST web services. This is very different to WIF that we've just discussed, where the WIF is a technology that makes life easier for a developer to program against. Access Control will receive the request from a simple client using a shared secret authentication, and then issue simple web tokens or SWATs that can be consumed by the REST web service. Now, SWATs are a format of tokens that were jointly developed by Microsoft, Google, and Yahoo that looks very much like a query string and a URL. and consequently is easy to parse by any REST web service. It can be used to communicate identity and claims to REST web-based services in a much more easy way than SAML or the WS stack. SWAT tokens can be parsed and validated without needing any complicated libraries, so you don't need WCF or WIF or even the .NET framework. As long as you can compute a hashed message authentication code, you can pretty much go. Applications exposing REST web-based services can take advantage of the access control regardless of where they are deployed, either on-premise, in Azure, or anywhere else on the internet that a connection is available. Access control allows customers to achieve true externalization of authorization policies, offering the chance of decoupling applications from most of their authorization logic by hosting it in the form of claims transformation rules at the access control itself. All application scenarios that involve AppFabric access control consist of three service components: the service provider, the REST web service, the service consumer, the client application that accesses the web service, and the token issuer, the AppFabric Access Control service itself. Here we're going to walk through a common interaction pattern between the client, the REST web service, and the access control. The services administrator first creates a scope in Access Control service for the REST web service, defining a target URI, a set of rules to translate the input claims to the output claims, and a token policy that specifies the key that will sign the token. That key needs to be communicated to the REST web service, which will be used to validate the tokens. The Access Control Service Manager will also create an issuer object to register the service consumers. It consists of an ID, a name, an issuer name, and the two keys to support rollover. The issuer name and the key will be the user to authenticate the client application, allowing it to obtain a token from the AppFabric Access Control before accessing the service provider. The client sends a HTTPS post to the access control that includes three things: the issuer name, the password, and the base URI of the service that the client wishes to access. This is done using a REST-based token request protocol called WRAP, or Web Resource Authorization Protocol. Access control checks to see if the account is registered for the user, and if so, validates the shared key. If all is well, access control then runs a set of rules that take as input the user's name and the base URI of the web service it plans to access. The output of these rules is a set of claims that Access Control bundles up into the SWAT token. Access Control signs that token and sends it back to the client. The client then makes a request to the web service, including the token, in the HTTP authorization header. And finally, the web service checks for this header, pulls out the token, validates its signature, and pulls out the claims that the access control issued. It uses these claims to discover the user's name, roles, and whatever other claims you've configured in your access control rule set. To use AppFabric Access Control, you must register for an account before you'll be able to begin using the services. In order to create an account, log in to the AppFabric portal using a Windows Live ID. Once you've successfully logged in, you'll be asked to create a new project. Project is basically a container for all of your services namespaces used by the Access Control service. You can think of a service namespace as a container for a particular set of Access Control rules. In order to create a new set of namespaces, you'll need to enter a unique service namespace across all accounts. As the service namespace is created, it will provide you with a management key that is generated by the service itself. This key will be required to perform management operations in the AppFabric service namespace. Access Control includes a management service that exposes an easy-to-use REST interface, a simple GUI management tool called the Management Browser, as well as a scriptable command line tool called acm.exe that will help you get started quickly. Within an Access Control service namespace, you might have different types of resources that need different authorization rules. The claims you need to authorize access for one type of resource may differ from the claims you need for another. For this reason, within a service namespace, a number of scopes can be created. A scope is an AppFabric Access Control resource that groups the rules governing AppFabric Access Control token issuing behavior. Each scope in a service namespace consists of a name, an ID, and a target URI for the web service, and a token policy ID. The scope will be used by the AC service to identify which rule set to use when issuing the token. When a client requests a token from AC, it must send a parameter called applies_to, which is the URI that indicates the resource it is trying to access. AC will then use this to look up the correct scope, and it will use the rules from that scope to figure out the claims for that client's token. A scope links to a rule set that tells AC how to issue claims, and a token policy, which tells AC how it should sign that token that contain those claims. Each rule in the rule set is defined in terms of input claims and output claims. When AC matches the scope, it will translate the incoming claims to the output claims according to the rules. It will package the resulting claims in a simple web token and sign that token with the key in the token policy linked to the scope. The App Fabric team at Microsoft has recently announced a new preview release that significantly expands the capabilities of the App Fabric Access Control. The new release includes some of the following: Extended Identity Provider Support, which allows developers to build applications and services that accept both enterprise identities through the integration of ADFS version 2 and a broad range of web identities through the support of Windows Live ID, OpenID, Google, Yahoo, and Facebook identities, all using a single code base. Expanded token output support, which is support for SAML 1.1, 2.0, and the SWAT token. And full integration with Windows Identity Foundation. Developers can apply the familiar WIF identity program model and tooling for cloud applications and services. These capabilities are currently available in the Labs environment. App Fabric Labs is a new environment which the App Fabric team is using to showcase some of its early bits and get feedback from the community. Usage for this environment is not build, so App Fabric Labs are a way for customers to test out and play with experimental App Fabric technologies. These capabilities are very compelling, and we want to get your feedback on them as soon as possible. So please visit the App Labs at http://whackwhackportal.appfabriclabs.com. Now you have the basics covered on the general points of identity and how it relates to the cloud. Now to get even more detail, please visit the Windows Azure blog, which can be found at whackwhackblogs.msn.com, whackb, whack, Windows Azure. Also, Channel 9 has some great tutorials on the Windows Identity Foundation. And of course, the Windows Azure portal is where you can find all the latest and greatest tools and download the SDK as well. Thank you, and I hope you've enjoyed this brief summary of Windows Identity in the cloud.
Check out the Windows Azure subscription options at http://bit.ly/try-windows-azure to find one that works for your business needs.